The topic of my little presentation today and tomorrow is the path of spiritual development. And we heard many times from Srila Prabhupada that the path of bhakti is very easy. And it's very joyful. Susukam kartum avyayam. And we definitely have very firm belief in this statement. But we also have to somehow or other bring this firm belief or faith in the statements that it's an easy path. We have to bring it together to our practical experience, which is sometimes is not so, I mean, somehow or other we can see that there are some difficulties, and the whole journey, spiritual journey, may not be that that easy and that joyful at times. And basically, what I'm going to describe is based on mostly statements of Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. Dealing with certain aspects, certain problematic aspects of spiritual development. And originally, we know that there is this statement in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Adau Shraddha Tathak Sadhu Sangha, which describes the stages of bhakti, or gradual development in bhakti. Somehow or other, Srila Rupa Goswami and the original commentator of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Srila Jiva Goswami, they hardly give any attention to these two verses from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. There is no elaboration on the stages of spiritual development there. Srila Jiva Goswami gives very short commentary on this. And of course, we know that Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur wrote the whole book commenting on these two verses, Madhuri Kadambini. So usually, you know, we have courses in ISKCON on this book. Many devotees, many Prabhupada's disciples were explaining this book of Madhuri Kadambini, but somehow or other, even while reading this book, there was some sort of dissatisfaction in myself, because certain descriptions in this book seems to be not matching so much with the reality. And I think that the main reason is that Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, by describing the spiritual development, he takes an ideal case. He himself gives an example of a Brahmana boy who is brought up in a very pure environment with very good samskaras, and somehow or other he gets the face, and this face is also very nicely formed. It's an ideal Shastriya Shraddha, an ideal Shraddha based on Shastras. And then, you know, his path of spiritual development is very nicely being described by Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur in this book, Madhuri Kadambini. Whereas, if we take us, or our cases, I mean, we are not, to start with, not Brahmana boys, maybe some of us, but even Brahmanas of these days, they're mostly, you know, I don't know who they are, but they are not the originally conceived ideal Brahmanas of you know, even 200-300 years back. And, you know, we will not speak about our samskaras, because it may take... And, you know, and of course, the case which is being described there, why the Shraddha is so ideal, because this Brahmana boy, he goes somewhere into the, you know, holy place and meet with a Mahabhagavata devotee and hears him, and immediately he develops Shraddha, and this Shraddha is being, you know, nicely developing within his heart. He gets a very pure seed of Shraddha in his heart. This Bhakti Lata Beach is very pure. If we analyze our Bhakti Lata Bija, it may not be that pure. Of course, we get original Shraddha from Prabhupada's books, reading books, but at the same time, there is a lot of development of our faith through the social interactions between the devotees. And this social interaction is not necessarily always very healthy in terms of our spiritual development. And that also influences us. In other words, you know, if we analyze the Bhakti Lata Bija, which is there within our heart, it may not be the pure Bhakti Lata Bija, it may be genetically modified Bhakti Lata Bija. And we get genetically modified fruit of this Bija. So the scenario is different, and we have to take into consideration. And after that, of course, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he wrote the whole book, Bhakti Tattva Vivek, where he describes mixtures in Bhakti Lata Bija when it's not so pure. And among other things, he writes a very interesting thing in Chaitanya Shikshamrita. It's a very interesting statement which was inspirational for me to get into this topic. It's from Chaitanya Shikshamrita by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. On the strength of performing many actions favorable to devotion over many lifetimes, faith in the process of bhakti eventually arises. This faith, through association of devotees, yields taste, ruchi. By chanting in the association of pure devotees, sadhana bhakti directed towards prema arises. If by the mercy of those pure devotees he accepts the correct practice of chanting, very quickly he comes to the stage of aspiring for prema. It's a recurrent theme in our scriptures that this path to prema is very quick one. But at the same time, again, if we take a real case, then we will see that it may not be that quick. But he writes next, very important and very significant statement. If, however, he takes instruction from a mixed devotee or a semi-devotee, it will be difficult for him to attain prema. In other words, if we get the instructions from not so pure source, it will be difficult to attain prema. He cannot become fully surrendered devotee, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. As sinful impressions still influence him, he does not appreciate the pure devotees. Crookedness appears and his heart becomes deceptive. In this condition, the practitioner must spend many births as a neophyte, as a Kanishtha Adhikari. Though the Kanishtha Adhikari has faith, it's very tender, swayed often by temptations. So, in this very telling and significant statement, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that, you know, it's the development of bhakti may take different routes, so to speak. And sometimes it may take many, many lifetimes. And it will be very difficult to be surrendered if initial stages of our spiritual development are not properly understood. There was another reason why I got into this topic. Some time ago, I was visiting Oxford, and I was speaking with somebody. I believe it was Sean Nakarishi, or maybe somebody else. I don't remember exactly. And he was telling me about his encounter with... there was some interface sort of happening there. And some Christian theologian came to them, and he specifically asked, he was not sure whether we are bona fide in terms of religious, our religious background. So he specifically asked a very interesting question. He said, "Do you have a book which thoroughly describes the stages of spiritual development?" And the implied meaning behind this question was, if you do, then you're bona fide. If you don't, you are nowhere. So, and of course, the answer was, yes, we have. It's Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. But again, as I said, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes something which doesn't always match with our reality, unfortunately, and therefore I got into this topic trying to elaborate on this. Even in this book, Madhuri Kadambini, certain stages Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes very briefly. For example, while describing Sadhu Sangha stage, he just he gives one sentence, only one sentence, and he doesn't describe, basically doesn't describe Anartha Nivritti as such. For him, there is Bhajana Kriya and then Nishta, and Anartha Nivritti is something which is more or less automatically happening on the stage of Bhajana Kriya. And of course, he describes very elaborately the crises during the stage of Bhajana Kriya. But still, it's interesting. He kind of omits this stage of Anartha Nivritti, whereas if we take Srila Prabhupada's description, or especially Bhaktivinoda Thakur's descriptions, we will see that there are some certain things which are happening in this stage of Anartha Nivritti. Anyway, that's more or less the idea behind my little study of this topic. And I want to share with you some of my findings during the course of this little investigation. And specifically, I was studying the first stages of spiritual development, and today I will speak a little bit about Shraddha and different types of Shraddha which are there. But also, while I was thinking of how to approach this topic, I have a scientific background, and therefore I was thinking how to approach this topic, how to, what shall we take as initial premise to investigate this topic, and I found a very interesting statement again in the same book, Madhuri Kadambini, at the end, in the last chapter of Madhuri Kadambini, where Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that there are two types of ego, the material ego and spiritual ego. And he says, ahanta and mamata, this is the structure of our ego, who I am, who I think I am, and mamata, what I think belongs to me. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he says that basically spiritual development is nothing but the development of spiritual ego, as opposed to material ego. And while describing this, he also makes a very interesting statement. He describes how this spiritual ego, and it's a very interesting process according to him, because it's not that we have our material ego, and this material ego, or material ahankara, is being spiritualized. It's a separate development. We have now material ego or material identification with matter. And at the same time, while we practice bhakti, chant the holy name and listen scriptures, a separate structure is being developed. Because if we see how Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur describes this development stage by stage, for example, he says that on the stage of nishta, which is quite advanced stage of spiritual development, when we achieve nishta, he says that our identification with matter is still complete. He says we are more or less completely identified with the matter. But still at the same time, the spiritual ego is also somewhat developed. It's not that it's just completely proportionate. To a certain proportion, you diminish your material ego, and the same proportion, you developed your spiritual ego. It's a different process. It's a parallel process. Your material ego is being destroyed gradually, and at the same time, spiritual ego is being developed. So I kind of took it as an inspiration and tried to investigate this topic of spiritual development from this point of view, how my spiritual ego, my spiritual ahanta and mamata, my spiritual understanding of who I am and what I think is mine, is being developed. And in the course of this development, if we take a child, and basically that's the metaphor which I took while thinking about this process. If we take a child, the development of a child is nothing but development of his ego, of his separate identity. Those scientists who are into this developmental psychology, they say that in the course of developing ego, separate identity, a child undergoes certain crises. And crisis is nothing, it's not necessarily a painful sort of event or painful internal condition. Crisis is a formation of a new structure in your ego. And a very interesting observation is being made by those people who investigate or study this developmental psychology is that if the crisis is successfully overcome, then the child becomes more integrated into the society. He becomes more equipped in dealing with the challenges of the life and in dealing with other people. Whereas if the crisis is not successfully gone through, and still there are some problems, then the different development is taking place. He becomes more estranged from the society. And what we can see in case of the spiritual development, we also see some certain points, critical points in the course of our spiritual development. And a similar dynamic can be seen in the course of spiritual development, if this crisis is successfully gone through, then somebody is becoming more integrated or more connected with other people, and ultimately more connected with Krishna. And vice versa, if the crisis is not really successfully gone through and there are some problems in the course of going through this crisis, then the same sort of development is taking place. We become more estranged. We become, the connection with other devotees become more, you know, distant, and proportionately our connection with Krishna becomes also more distant, or our bondage with Krishna becomes weakened. And bondage and connection with other devotees. So that's basically what was inspiring me while I was studying this, and that was the point of view, the specific point of view from which I was trying to approach this topic. So that's more or less the introduction to the whole topic, which I wanted to give. And of course, we'll start with Shraddha, with the first stage. And today we'll not touch any crises of spiritual development. But while studying these stages, we can very clearly see that there are certain crises, and this crisis is nothing but the intermediate stage. You know, going from Shraddha to Sadhu Sangha, there is a little crisis there. And if we minutely study how psychologically it's being, you know, there is a certain crisis, and from going from Sadhu Sangha to Bhajana Kriya, there is certain crisis which one has to go through. And again, crisis is not necessarily something bad or painful. Crisis is just a formation of some qualities which need to be there to function on a different stage. Bhaktivinoda Thakura also very interestingly says, I believe in Bhakti Loka, that each stage of spiritual development has its own unique rules. And if we follow these rules, then very quickly we go from one stage to another stage. Whereas if we don't know these rules and try to function according to the rules of a previous stage, which is the tendency, because we all have our comfort zone and we try to kind of follow the rules of the lower stage, then the progress will be slackened, the progress will be slowed down, and we will not go from stage to stage. So basically, again, my topic, I wanted to see what should be the rules which we should follow on each stage of spiritual development. And specifically, also I was investigating or studying this topic from the point of view of counselors who are helping other people to develop spiritually. And today again, I will not deal with all these crises, but today I will deal with the first crisis which we have. That is what kind of faith we get. What kind of faith or Shraddha we develop. We know, probably heard, that there are basically two types of faith or Shraddha. Bhaktivinoda Thakur very clearly spell it out, but originally it's coming from Bhaktisandarbha by Srila Jiva Goswami, and even more originally it's coming from Bhagavad Gita itself. Because in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, again, very clearly says, Arjuna asks Krishna the question. He says, Krishna, please tell me what kind of faith it is if somebody has faith, and quite strong faith sometimes, but this faith is not really based on scriptures. It's the question from which the 17th chapter of Bhagavad Gita is beginning. That's the beginning, the foundational question of the 17th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. And of course, if we look around, we will see many different varieties of faith. And I'm not really speaking about this particular room that we should look around and try to see who is bona fide and who is not. But if we look around in the world, we can see that there are so many varieties of faith. And even though we sometimes say that faith is good, we also can see that not every kind of faith is good. There are so many vicious kind of Shraddha in God. It may sound very, radical, but we can see that there are so many people, fanatical people, who kill in the name of God and who do all kinds of nonsense in the name of God. Therefore, Krishna, of course, he says that everyone has some sort of faith. And the faith itself is not something really special, because Shraddha Mayayam Purusho, every human being is made of faith. In most cases, this faith is not really, it's not really even something special, in the sense that it's just more or less goes in the vicious circles of your karma. That's exactly what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita when he says that according to your influence of the modes of nature, you develop certain faith. And you're not going beyond the particular combination of the modes of nature by this faith. You're more or less reproducing your own situation. If you are situated in the mode of tamas, you will have tamasic faith, and this tamasic faith will reinforce your position in the mode of tamas. It will not bring you any further. It will only help you to develop more thick tamas. You will become more tamasic by this faith. So the faith itself is nothing, is not anything special. Shastriya Shraddha is something very special. So the first topic which I will deal with is how to distinguish between these two kinds of faith in our own case, which is the most important for us. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, taking Srila Jiva Goswami's statement in Bhaktisandarbha as a lead, he says that there are two types of faith. One is Shastriya Shraddha, which is Shastra Artha Vishwas, the trust into the statements of Shastra. And if we take Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's book, Madhuri Kadambini, we can see that his whole very elaborate first chapter of this book is describing what kind of vishwas, what kind of trust we should have. And again, if we see all these shastric statements which Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur quotes there, we can see that it's not necessarily that we have complete trust into this statement. But contrasting to this type of faith, which is quite rare, and very soon we will see that it's not so common. Contrasting to this kind of faith, Srila Jiva Goswami says that there is what Bhaktivinoda Thakur calls Laukika Shraddha, but specific Sanskrit statement in Bhaktisandarbha is loka prapta, loka parampara prapta, the faith which we get from loka parampara. In other words, the faith which we get in the kitchen. You know, it's a very common place where we get some sort of faith or whatever. In other words, this Laukika Shraddha is Samajik Shraddha, societal Shraddha, or conventional Shraddha. The Shraddha which we get from our social interactions. You know, there is very famous, you know, there is a lot of devotional folklore, you know, which we get from all this sort of interactions. There are weird stories which we hear sometimes in the lectures, or especially in the holy places, you know, during parikrams. Very strange stories, completely not based on anything, you know. But this is all Loka Parampara Shraddha. It's something we, Loka Parampara Prapta, something which we get from this Loka Parampara, from, not from bona fide Parampara, not from the bona fide chain of disciplic succession, but from, you know, from hearing from all these strange things which is there. And what is even more interesting is that, and I will share with you some of my investigation. There are approximately 7 or maybe 8 lakshanas which will distinguish one type of face from another type of face, and which we can very clearly see what is our condition, what is our situation. But what is even more interesting in this regard is a different nomenclature, or the different terms which Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur uses for the same sort, for these two types of face. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur doesn't use Shastriya Shraddha and Laukika Shraddha, but instead he uses different terms. He says, for Shastriya Shraddha, he says Svabhavika Shraddha. And Svabhavika Shraddha means natural face. And it's interesting to understand this point, which is included into this, or implied by this statement of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And we all can relate to it, because when we see, when we look inside our heart, we can see that when we read Shastra, there is a spontaneous sort of understanding, yes, yes, that's it. It's very, it's actually very natural. Shastriya Shraddha, if we study our Shastras very deeply, we can see that it's very congenial to the condition of our heart, in one sense. The heart resonates. When we hear statements of Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, it's very naturally, very spontaneously, and very, very naturally comes into our heart, and the heart agrees with this. But what is even more important is his nomenclature, or his statement for the Laukika Shraddha. He says Laukika Shraddha is Balat Utpadita Shraddha. Balat Utpadita Shraddha means forced Shraddha. Shraddha which is forced, which is kind of shoveled into your throat by somebody. Sometimes, you know, during the book distribution, we kind of use this technique, you know. Or we can see that in other religious tradition, people, they try to instill Shraddha through the means of fear. You will go to hell and you will burn in hell for the rest of eternity. Believe in, you know, Jesus or whoever. So that's Balat Utpadita. That's forced, something which is not natural, which is not coming from your intelligence or from your intelligent understanding, which is coming from fear or some other sort of stuff. And what is even more interesting in this regard, in regard of this Balatutpadita Shraddha, which is again another name for Laukika Shraddha or for Samajika Shraddha, is that that was my observation. My observation, I had a very interesting personal experience of this. Long ago, in 1998, I had my personal crisis, which was connected with the crisis of my guru at that time. I was in Russia, of course. And at that time, there was, you know, it was a critical time for practically all the devotees in Russia. And naturally, I was speaking with many of them, interacting with many of them. And one recurrent topic which was there in the statements of many people, especially those who were choosing to go away from Krishna consciousness, was that I was forced into Krishna consciousness. And I was thinking, while speaking with them, you know, how come you were forced? What kind of, you know, who forced you into this? But I couldn't deny this statement because that was their subjective experience. I can't say you were not forced. I mean, maybe from the formal, phenomenological point of view, they were not forced. Nobody was forcing them. But still, there was this internal impression or internal perception that there was some force. And actually, I could relate to this. And I was thinking deeply about this. What kind of force it is? And ultimately, what I understood, very important thing, is that when we're dealing in the society, there is a social pressure, definitely. And we definitely, being social animals, and we are human beings are social animals, we kind of, we want to belong to a society. And we always experience this social pressure, and because we experience this social pressure, we kind of fake or imitate the face. We do many things, not because we believe in it, not because we understand why we're doing this, but because this is the custom in this particular society. And, if we behave in this manner, then there will be some sort of unnatural situation within ourselves. And we will feel that we are forced into it. And what I can see, to a certain extent, we all are victims of this dynamic, this social dynamic. And that's the main sign or the main lakshana of this Balatutpadita Shraddha or Laukika Shraddha, is that it's not svabhavik, it's not really the condition of my free heart, which is striving towards Krishna, and this is a means to achieve Him, but there is some sort of, you know, pressure on me. And that's the manifestation of a problem which is there within our face. That's what the point which I want to say, which I want to make, is that it means that our face is somewhat improperly conceived, somewhat improperly planted, so to speak, or it's not really proper. So therefore, this very phrase or this very name, For this Alaukika Shraddha, as Balatutpadita Shraddha, is very important. We have to be very conscientious and very sincere by looking inside our heart and asking, am I free? Because if I'm not free, if I'm doing this, what I'm doing, chanting or, you know, coming for the program, and I'm doing it not because I want to become completely free, and love is the condition of complete freedom, then it will not bring me to love. Moreover, it will bring me further away from love. And that's basically the first crisis. What kind of faith do I have within my heart? Is it proper or is it improper? And I will now list a few lakshanas, or few signs of Laukika Shraddha and Shastriya Shraddha, which are completely opposite to each other. They have different characteristics. The first lakshana, or the first characteristic of these two types of faith, different characteristic, is that Laukika Shraddha, or Shraddha which we get from just social interactions, and especially like in our tradition, which is quite new in the West, it may not be that prominent. Although it is already quite prominent, but if we take more traditional religions, we will see that most of the people, they just believe only because it's just the tradition in their society, because their parents believe in it and their grandparents believe in it, and they don't have any conscious choice in this matter. They just inherited the faith, so to speak, with their tradition. It's interesting. I once visited the parish of Russian Orthodox Church in London. And I asked the head of this Russian Orthodox Church in London, who are the most committed members of your parish? And he said, it's exclusively Englishmen. He said, we have tons of Russians and Ukrainians who comes once a year or twice a year to get some water on their head. But those who are really committed, it's Englishmen, British, native British, because they're not inherited the faith, because it's the faith came to them through the conscious process, so to speak, through the not through this samajic or laukic process. So the first characteristic, again, of this Laukika Shraddha is that it's mechanical. And that's exactly what Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in Jaiva Dharma. He says, when there is a perfect marriage of Shraddha with transcendental understanding, and that's basically the description of Shastriya Shraddha, perfect marriage of faith with transcendental understanding. Shastra Artha Vishvas, the trust into the statements or into the meaning of Shastra. Then it's called Shastriya Shraddha, faith based on proper scriptural conclusions. In contrast, deity worship bereft of clear and correct concept of Sambandha Gyan is conducted on the level of mechanical, ritualistic Laukika Shraddha. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he gives these two very important definitions or very important lakshanas of this Laukika Shraddha. It's mechanical and it's ritualistic. It's belief in rituals. You know, and it's a very common phenomena when we believe in ritual itself without understanding. It's basically the belief that the ritual itself, if we perform it diligently, without fail, will somehow or other bring change within our heart. It's actually kind of mystical understanding, very primitive understanding, you know. You have to really jump in a certain way, then only it will work. You know, like all these shamans or whatever it is. Sometimes we're very much concerned about these details of the ritual. And that's a sign that our Shraddha is not in the essence. It's into external form. And therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur calls it mechanical. Mechanical means you do some mechanical ritual and that will necessarily bring the result. As opposed to it, Shastriya Shraddha is a very conscious approach towards everything which we are doing. It's not that we can switch off our brain or put it into a different mood and at the same time do bhakti. Bhakti, it's not going to work in this way, you know. And we all know, I'm sure we all have plenty of experience of mechanical sort of things which we are doing. And the most important one is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama, Rama. When we do it just because everyone else is doing it, not because I need it, not because I understand why I'm doing it, not because I understand what is the goal of it. I already forgot it long ago. Prabhu, I'm a senior devotee. I got initiation 20 years ago. You know, why should I remember about this? So it's mechanical and it's Laukika Shraddha. It's just because everyone else is doing it and because I want to belong to this particular society and because I want to be part of it. And I have to, you know, I have to somehow or other, not to be too much different from the rest of the society. Therefore, I have to pretend that I'm chanting the holy name. I'm mumbling something. It has nothing to do with holy name. It's just mumbling. But it's a nice ritual we do. And then somehow or other we believe that by this sort of ritual I will go back to Godhead. Highly questionable. Yes. That's first and very important point which we have to understand is that if my approach to sadhana has become ritualistic or mechanical, there is something wrong with my Shraddha. Really, I lost it in the way. I might have gotten it in the beginning, but somehow or other it's evaporated now. And I'm doing it because there is still this, you know, it was set into motion and it's, you know, but the real life of it is not there anymore. Basically, you know, that's the first problem. This sort of mechanical transmission of faith or mechanical following on the path of bhakti. And, you know, of course, Shastriya Shraddha needs constant nourishment. If we want to really maintain Shastriya Shraddha, even if we got it in the very beginning, then it requires the nourishment. Second lakshana, or second sign of Laukika Shraddha is that, I included this, it's that, also it may be arguable, but it's coming basically again from Bhaktivinoda Thakur and from Srila Prabhupada, it's that Laukika Shraddha is very weak, and it's very susceptible to the external influences. There is a nice statement of Srila Prabhupada. Now the question may be that one may take to the service of Supreme Personality of Godhead without understanding the truth by sentiment. Just like sometimes, Prabhupada says, just like sometimes. And then he pauses a little bit and says, it is mostly in this country. Mostly in this country you take to the process of devotional service just by sentiment, not without very deep understanding. Some of the disciples, some of the students, they are coming, not that they have that they has understood this philosophy very nicely and he is convinced. Some of them are coming by sentiment. All right, let me join this Krishna consciousness movement. So, in that case, what happens? Everyone has got some occupational duty, so he gives it up according to the instruction of Krishna, Charanam Bhujam Harer, and begins devotional service, Krishna consciousness. Then after some time, just like many, when I came in the beginning, there were many, not many, a few, say within five or six, they were working with me, but now they are not working, Srila Prabhupada says. So that's the possibility. They come by sentiment. They come, so it's basically, Prabhupada explains that in the beginning, when the faith is not solely based on some scientific understanding of what is going on, what should be there, it will be very much influenced by the external influences, and very quickly people can change it. And then there is another very interesting, significant statement which is coming from Bhaktisandarbha by Jiva Goswami. Very interestingly, he says, he takes the famous verse from Bhagavad Gita, from the ninth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Apichet Sudaracharo Bhajate Mamananya Bhak Sadureva Samantavyak Samyakvivasitavhisa. And he asked what kind of faith it is when one still commits the most abominable actions. Apichet Sudaracharo Bhajate Mamananya Bhak. And Srila Jiva Goswami says that's Laukika Shraddha. He says that if one has Shastriya Shraddha, or the faith in the statements of Krishna, or in the statements of Shastra, in the meaning of Shastra, he will not break the statements, he will not commit any sinful activities. And he specifically refers to this verse that you may get a very strong faith, but still, if you're committing sinful activities, it means that your faith is not proper. Of course, it may transform into something proper. Kshiprambhavati dharmatma, very quickly he becomes righteous soul. But if this tendency is there, if you're still committing some sinful activities, it basically very sure indication is that it's improper faith, it's Laukika Shraddha, it's Because, again, he says very important thing which we have to understand. If somebody has a mature understanding of the statements of scriptures, he will not break the statements. And the very fact that he breaks the statements means that the mature understanding and mature faith in the statements is not there. So that's another thing. Specifically what Srila Jiva Goswami says, he says, when somebody develops faith which is based on the understanding of scriptures, this very faith does not allow him to commit abominable actions mentioned in this verse. So that's another interesting lakshana, or another interesting sign of this. And then the next characteristic of these two kinds of faith is that Laukika Shraddha is very dogmatic. It's not, you know, it's irrational, so to speak. And behind that, behind this facade of faith, there is a lot of doubts in it. And it's, you know, somebody, and I've seen it again and again and again, people who have this, a lot of doubts, they don't, they're afraid to bring it into the conscious mind, and they're afraid to admit themselves that these doubts are there, and therefore they use some sort of dogma. This is like this, only like this, and, you know, don't try to speak about this. Don't touch it. This is like this, you know. And we can see so many fanatics are there who have this sort of understanding, who are very much afraid to admit that they have doubts. And in this regard, Srila Jiva Goswami, while illustrating what is Kshatriya Shraddha, he gives a very beautiful example from Brahma Vaivarta Purana. Really beautiful, how the person who has Kshatriya Shraddha, how he thinks of how he deals with the doubts which may surface in his mind. Very interesting. This is the verse from Brahma Vaivarta Purana quoted by Srila Jiva Goswami in Bhakti Sandarbha 173. Kim satyam andritam chiti vicharah sampravartate. He says, that's the beginning of the statement. He says that when we hear some statement from the scriptures, the first questions which comes to our mind, whether it's true or not. Kim satyam andritam chiti. Whether it's satya or andrita. It's not that, you know, I have to really blindly, you know, close my eyes and says, yeah, it's coming from the scriptures, it means it's true. No, you ask this question, whether it's true or not. Kim satyam andritam chiti vicharah sampravartate. And one starts thinking, if it's true or not. You have to really examine these statements without taking it blindly. Vicharepi kriti rajan, or king, vicharepi kriti, after thinking for a long time, unfortunately, it's already... One second. O king, in the beginning, when one hears something, one questions, one asks this question, whether the statement from scriptures, specifically it means glorifying the power of the path of devotional service, whether they're true or they're not true. They're false. While thinking about this, one comes to a conclusion that it's not false, and he deeply understands that they're right. Siddhim bhavati purnasyat tada shraddha mahapala. He says, if one, while thinking about these statements, understands that they're right, they're correct, Siddhi Bhavati, then he says, only then his Shraddha brings Mahaphal, great fruit. But if my Shraddha, if my face is blind, if somehow or other I just believe it and leave me alone, I already believe it. What do you want from me? I follow everything. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And at the same time, I have all these doubts, something which is unresolved in my mind, all kinds of strange things which is going on. Then the result will not be so great. It may be quite meager, quite not as we expect. And specifically it is said here that only if the Shraddha of faith is based on this thorough understanding of the statements of scriptures, then Tada Shraddha Mahaphala, it will bring a very significant fruit. And there is an interesting statement by Srila Prabhupada in one of his lectures. He says, so our only request, Prabhupada says, is that don't take this Krishna consciousness movement as sentimental religious propaganda. No, it's not religious, it's scientific. So Prabhupada emphasizes this point. He says, our only request, please. And in another lecture, he says, we are not blindly following. We have not dogmatism. We have got reason, philosophy, and everything, science. If you want to understand this Krishna consciousness on the basis of philosophy, logic, and science, we are prepared to present it to you. And then the next lakshana, or the next sign which I wanted to... what is the time now? I'll finish soon. Please bear with me. A few more things I just want to say in this regard. The next sign which is very important, it's again coming from Bhaktisandarbha by Srila Jiva Goswami. He says that if we have Shastriya Shraddha, then one important characteristic of Shastriya Shraddha is that it's always developing. It's never satisfied with itself. It's never static. He specifically says that he compares it with the searching for gold. He says if somebody get this real Shraddha or real gold, real treasure, then he will want more and more and more, and he will go further and further and further and will not stay on the same level, so to speak. Whereas if somebody has this and one will, one will develop again and again. He will have this attitude. I want to know more. I want to go deeply. Whereas if our Shraddha of faith upon which we are basing our practice is of the different case, different kind, if our understanding is this samajic, then we'll get to the certain point and we'll say, everything is fine with me. What do you want from me? Oh, I already know 5 shlokas from Bhagavad Gita. Dehinas minyatade kumaram yavanam jara. I'm not this body. Leave me alone. I already know everything. So this is, again, a very important attitude, which is the sign of proper Shraddha. I want to go deeper. I want to go. I'm not satisfied with the state I am in. But if it's not there, if I am in my comfort zone, so to speak, And I think, I'm okay, I'm fine. You know, you may not be fine, I'm fine. Why do you bother me? You know? Then it may not be so good. Srila Jiva Goswami specifically says, it's a very beautiful statement. Moreover, having attained faith, whether still on the practice stage, on the stage of sadhana bhakti, or in the stage of perfection, they always endeavor to imbibe the character of great sages, like a person who is eager to obtain gold. In other words, you always want to become more and more pure. Perfection here means the inner realization of Lord Hari, which destroys defects such as lust from the heart and bestows the highest limit of bliss. In that state, while constantly engaged in the means to bring about one's goal, there is absolutely no trace of conduct that is plagued with defects like duplicity and desire for honor. Consequently, one does not consciously commit offenses such as disrespecting great devotees, because such offenses are diametrically opposed to the revelation of Lord in the heart. So, Srila Jiva Goswami, he describes this attitude which is there, and which is the result of our understanding. I want to achieve my goal. And I don't want to exchange this goal with a trifle thing like honor in this world. And I want to have this pure gold. And another symptom which I wanted to say is that externally may seem like something different from what I said before, something even opposite to this. It's interesting. I specifically put it next to each other. Where is it? Yeah, it's again coming from Srila Jiva Goswami, from Bhakti Sandarbha. He says, another symptom of Shraddha is that although a devotee may be destitute, he or she has complete faith in the Lord's protection and thus never behaves with others in such a manner so as to become an object of their pity. Indeed, the statements of Shastra inspire this type of faith in the Lord as in the Gita. For devotees who are exclusively devoted to me, who are absorbed in thinking of me, who worship me constantly, and who are thus ever united with me, I provide all necessities and preserve what they have. So basically, these two statements, the previous one and this one, go together in a sense that one who has the proper faith, or Shastriya Shraddha, he is always spiritually ambitious and totally non-ambitious materially. And this statement is about this. We don't have material ambitions. Whatever materially we have, it's fine. Whatever Krishna wants us to get, we get. Because we believe. Yoga kshema vahamyaham. Krishna himself says, I give whatever he needs. So I don't hanker for all these material things, but and I'm satisfied with whatever I have. That's again the sign of Shastriya Shraddha. If I am satisfied with whatever I already get, that's the sign of Shastriya Shraddha. And if I always hanker and I always think that, you know, something is wrong, maybe, you know, this is wrong mantra which I chant, why Krishna doesn't give me money, you know, so many years of chanting and so less pounds in my bank account, so doesn't match with each other. So that's again the sign of wrong faith which we have. We believe in something which we are not supposed to believe. And very often we can hear all these statements, you know, that I heard that, you know, in the early... Anyway, I should mention this. anyway, I... perhaps I will say one more thing. There are some other stuff which is already there, but I only will mention one more thing, which is important. Is that it's again coming from Srila Jiva Goswami, from his Bhakti Sandarbha. He says that if one has proper faith, and that one of the signs of proper faith is that the heart becomes soft and very subtle and high sentiments of compassion will awaken within the heart. And we can see that those people who are very proud of their so-called shraddha, of faith, all these fanatical people, their heart is very hard. It's there is no compassion in this heart, and by the name of God, they are ready to kill everyone who doesn't somehow or other fit their understanding of what it means to believe in God. So, if by you know, following this path of bhakti, we don't see that our heart becomes more soft. If it still remains very hard, maybe something wrong in the initial conditions of the heart, which does not allow us to develop the proper attitudes towards other people and towards other, you know, whoever is there. So, basically, I just wanted to describe these two kinds of faith. Again, taking as a lead the statement by Bhaktivinoda Thakur that if our faith is not proper to begin with, if it's coming not from the very pure source, and if we try to... What happens, actually, in our case... We got some faith, definitely some proper faith. In reality, our faith is a sort of mixture of proper and improper things. We got a very pure faith from Srila Prabhupada, there is no doubt about it. But because it's not complete, because we don't get the complete picture, because the understanding is not comprehensive, so to speak, and we are not trying to get the comprehensive and very thorough understanding from Prabhupada's books by studying them systematically and thoroughly, then we get some holes in our faith, some doubts here and there. So what shall we do with these holes? We will somehow or other seal them with Laukika Shraddha. You know, somebody tells me some weird story about, you know, about some miracle which is happening. I said, oh, that's far out. This is, wow, it's very, okay, one doubt less. So we're trying to sort of compensate the deficiencies, the defects of our Shraddha, instead of forming our Shraddha properly, and try to consistently endeavor to form proper Shastriya Shraddha, we're getting a little piece of information from here and there, and in this way we get some sort of, how you call this, when the poor people, they have this cloth which is stitched from little pieces. Patched, yeah. So we have patched faith. From little piece from here, little piece from there. And it's not very strong. And as with the patch cloth, it's easily being, you know, can be torn away. and it's not very, you know, warm. That's what it is. And the most important thing which Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, if you remember in the first statement which I made, is that what really happens if one has this sort of faith, it will not allow him to surrender completely. We will call ourselves as devotees, which implies some sort of surrender. But because the faith is not really strong enough, we will always keep little aloof. We don't have complete trust into Krishna, into the spiritual master, into scriptures, and we'll always say, yeah, it's good, it's nice, they're nice people. No problem, Krishna is nice. But surrender to him, it's little too much. I'm not ready yet. So that's exactly what Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. He says, if your faith is not properly formed, for many lifetimes you will not be able to surrender completely, and it means that you will remain as a Kanishtha Adhikari, as a neophyte devotee, without properly surrendering ourselves and chanting with the proper mood, in the proper mood. And in this way, we are hoping, you know, to get prema, but as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, it may not happen so quickly. It may take a few more days to get prema, or maybe a few more lifetimes. So the only point of this presentation was to analyze what's going on. And that's the first crisis, the crisis of, the source, so to speak. It's even not the first one, but the first one will be, I will describe tomorrow and a few more tomorrow what's happening. I guess I should stop now. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.